What's up, guys? Welcome back to Babecast. My name is Megan, and on Monday, Memorial Day, I did a thing. I got to do my first ever live podcast, and by live, I mean we were recording it, but I got to do it at X1029's Rock on the River. My boyfriend runs the station, and I really appreciate him for setting the whole thing up. I was a little bit nervous, I'm not going to lie. It's kind of the first time I've been in that environment and had to interview somebody. There's a lot of background noise, which you will obviously hear. So I did what any normal person would do, and I drank a beer, and then we had a really great conversation. She's super cool, super easy to talk to, super inspiring. I'm stoked for you guys to hear it. So welcome to Babecast, musician, singer, songwriter, Kay Flay.
The boy I love's got another girl. Might be f***ing her right now. I don't have an apartment.
Thought if I was here, I'm on the left side, you're on the right side.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I feel confused about that.
It feels, it's weird,
right?
It's weird, but I don't know.
I know,
if that's
I asked him, I was like, is
it
supposed to be like this or what? But
wow.
I guess it is.
That's strange.
Because it's going to record in two separate, so if I say something stupid, which is most likely going to happen, I can edit myself out.
Two monophiles. I get it. Okay. I get it.
Kayplay, welcome to Jacksonville.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So far, we've talked about the weird situation we're in up here. There's a stripper pole to the left of us just to paint you guys a little picture.
Yeah, stripper pole, a lot of like kind of photographs or pseudo photographs of half-naked women.
There's some boobs out, you know,
definitely.
The usual. We're just setting the scene for you guys.
There's actually
listening.
Like a kind of a really disturbing one in our green room area.
Oh, I might have to go check it out.
All the women are like about to pull their tops off.
Oh, okay.
And
just
sort
like
of
a
like
little tease.
Looking coquettishly. Yeah.
So you've been in Florida for a little bit now. You were in Tampa and then Miami, and now you're here.
Yes.
So you've just been sweating for a week straight, basically.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hadn't been back, like, playing an outdoor show in Florida since I did Warped Tour a couple years ago.
Oh, I used to love Warped Tour back in the day.
And that was, I remember I finished a show.
Because that's summertime, right? So
oh
it's, like,
my God,
super hot out.
And that's one of those tours, like, you have your bus, but there's otherwise no place with air conditioning anywhere that's accessible to you. So I remember I got done with the show, and I was wearing a white shirt, and these girls came up to me, and they said, oh, you found a pool? Where is it? And I was like, damn.
That's Florida for
you. I just got roasted. Yeah. I was like, no, this is my human body sweat.
Is this your first time to Jacksonville ever?
Oh, no. We've been
here. Okay.
I've been, what's it, Jackrabbits?
Yes.
I've played at Jackrabbits before.
All right, cool.
But that was kind of a while ago, so I haven't been back in a while.
Okay, it's been a while. So glad you're here when the humidity is up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about your fans. Do you have, okay, so you know how like Beyonce has like the Beehive? Do your fans have like a name yet?
Oh, I'm really against that.
You are, okay.
I'm extremely against
that. Okay, good.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like, do you feel like they've tried to create one and you're like shutting it down?
Nobody has. I think everybody,
they just know
who
you.
Knows me would. No, intuitively, I would not like that idea. Like, I feel like if you're on the level of Beyonce, Lady Gaga, or something, like, you could do whatever you want.
Right.
And I actually, like, am down with it.
Yeah.
I don't like when these names are sort of created at the outset. I'm like, can't you just be just a fan?
Just a fan. I don't really know where that started, but I feel like it's maybe social media. That's, like, a newer thing.
It's definitely social
media. You
know? But see, I like Lady Gaga, what is it, The Little Monsters?
Yeah.
I kind of get down with that because it's not, like, a play on her name.
Right. Okay. So if it's
maybe,
not a play in your name, you could get down with it, maybe.
Yeah, but that being said, there is no name. You could make
okay.
one.
If you're not for it, we won't
okay,
go down
that road.
Okay,
let's not do it.
Okay.
I'm going to have a sip of beer as an RIP for that idea.
We're drinking some intuition, and we're hanging out.
Yeah,
my podcast, a little history about it. It's about women. Like, it's very local, but obviously we heard you're coming in town. I'm a big fan of music, and I wanted to, you know, I want to try to make this like it's like a movement, kind of like women empowerment, like,
awesome.
Highlighting women who are doing like really badass things around the city.
Cool.
And we're talking to them and just learning about what they do. But I like to talk to the people like more about just what they do, like a little bit about you.
Yeah.
So are you into any reality TV shows or what do you do? I know you're literally, your life is this, touring and playing shows, but what do you do like in your free time? If you ever have any.
Well, I mean, a lot of my sort of free time revolves around music, even if it isn't my own music. Yeah. Like, you know, when I live in LA and I live down the street from kind of one of my favorite venues. There's an upstairs and a downstairs, so it's two venues.
Nice.
And I'm there like probably 60% of the nights that I'm home.
Playing shows, watching shows?
Just watching shows.
Oh, okay.
Just going out.
That's my favorite thing to do, too.
Yeah.
Just going to a show and, like, hanging out and having a good time.
Yeah, and I find it kind of stimulating because when you're on tour, you're just experiencing yourself constantly on some level. Like, you know, the other bands that you're playing with, too, but it's sort of this exercise in looking in the mirror, and I find that that's not super productive after a little while. Like, even when you're doing your makeup, like, there's only so long you need to look in the mirror. You know what I mean? Like, you reach a point.
It's hard, though. I'm like, oh, that looks bad.
Right.
And see, we're always, like, picking ourselves apart.
Right. So I definitely listen to a lot of music, but I'm a pretty avid reader. I find that, and I do a lot of reading on the road as well. I think it's a nice way to sort of, like, meditate.
Yeah. In the sense it's your own personal time.
Yeah, and you're directing focus to something that's outside of yourself. And
right.
It's very
so you like reading better than watching TV?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is I watch some TV shows. I just downloaded season one of The Sopranos.
Oh my god,
I'm
best
about
show.
To embark
You're gonna
on
love
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's great.
I can't wait. But I don't actually watch reality television except for
Diners, for the best.
Drive-ins, and dives. Okay. I don't know. Does that count?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, they go around
love
to the restaurants.
Guy Fieri. Not ironically.
He's been
or
to
anything.
Jacksonville several times at different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just there's something kind of like really undeniable about him. And I find it very appealing and very relaxing and comforting.
And he gets to go around and, like, eat food, so that's amazing.
I know, I like it.
I'm kind of jealous. So has music been something that you've always been doing since you were little or loved or?
No, actually.
No?
I sort of fell into music when I was in college.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was, like, a really serious student. And I liked school. I think I was, like, well-suited to educational institutions, and I liked the structure of them. So I grew up outside of Chicago, and then I went to college in California in the Bay Area, and that's basically where I started. Like, I was having an argument, literally, with someone about rap music at the time, and he kind of was like, okay, well, you never wrote a song.
Was he, like, challenging you? Like,
yeah.
You can't do it.
And then I literally I started making music, and I think it was so outside of the bounds of my experience up until that point. You know, it was sort of this world in which there weren't really structures or rules or expectations. And I think that was very kind of liberating for me.
Yeah. So, like, were you always, like, such a fan of hip hop, and then you were like, I can do this? How do you even start? Like, I wouldn't know what I was doing.
Well, I think my process is sometimes different, you know, song to song, but I think for the most part it's developing a musical core,
mm-hmm.
which would be like, might be a riff, might be a chord progression, whatever.
Okay.
And
so it's just all about
I was waving high.
No, you're good.
Off screen.
Distracting.
But I think, you know, developing some kind of core musical idea and then just letting that play on repeat sort of for a very long time, which can
right.
be annoying for anybody else who's around, which is typically why I'll write lyrics in an isolated space.
Okay, so you write alone, and
do you
ever, like, have people help you out, or?
I've done some collaborations for sure, and I've written on other people's projects
but
as
you
well.
Prefer to do it alone, kind of?
Yeah, I think the one of the things that I enjoy about the writing process, and I think one of the things that is maybe characteristic of my songs is that they're sort of maybe lyrically a little non-traditional in a way, or
mm-hmm.
They're very specific.
Right.
Like, I really like
so
detail.
You wouldn't really want other people to kind of...
Well, it takes time to figure that out. It's more of a time issue. I mean, I think if you have a trusted person who you can collaborate with, like,
sure.
anything's possible. The sky's
the
limit.
And you have to be on the same page, I imagine.
Yeah, but, like, even, you know, for a lot of this stuff on my record, about half of it I did in Nashville with a friend of mine who produced about half the record, and there's, like, a chair in its own room. I just kind of go in there, like, write, sing him some stuff. Like, what do you think of this? Like, how, you know, and kind
go
of
back
having
and
that. Yeah, having that sounding board for me is really helpful because you can get lost in your own mind. But then on the other hand, like, I have a song called Blood in the Cut that I wrote in 20 minutes and, like, forgot about. So, you know, you never know
you
how
you wrote it in 20 minutes and then you forgot
possibly
about it?
Possibly less, yeah.
How? How does that happen?
I was very sad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was, like,
it
really...
It came from anger and sadness.
I was just sad.
Is that where you draw inspiration a lot for your songs? Kind of, like,
I think so.
Your emotions, maybe?
Yeah, I was saying the other day, like, I think a lot of the core of the inspiration for me is both like the joy of being alive, but you know, the devastation of it having to end. I think it's just kind of like, I think about both of those things a lot, and it's very fruitful for me.
Right.
You know, it's like precious but meaningless, and there's something.
Yeah. Well, you go through things and you stress a lot about them, and then they're over so quickly too.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, it's crazy.
So you've been touring for, I feel like, a really long time, right?
Yeah.
And you were in Australia recently.
Yeah.
How was Australia? I want to go real bad, but I feel like I don't really like flying. I'm sure you're like, now for you traveling, you're like, whatever. But it's a very long plane ride. Yeah. So how was it?
That. Australia was great. You know, it was all of our, it's actually quite rare. Like for our touring group, usually one person has been somewhere before. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time we were all going to a new place. So we were all kind of experiencing that for the first time.
Did you guys get to, I mean, outside of playing the shows, did you get to experience it a little bit and hang out? Or?
We did.
Cool. And yeah. I saw that you ate on your Instagram that you ate is it Vegemite?
Vegemite, yeah.
It's what the hell
really
is
good.
That?
It's really
good? It looks really gross.
It's a yeast extract.
Okay, that sounds awful. I'm going to be honest with you.
They need to rebrand it.
Hey, eat this yeast extract. It sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it's really, it's very salty.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of the
but
vibe.
But they like put it on toast?
Yeah, I mean, the key is, and I got like tons of people in the comments criticizing my method, although I was using their method, I just didn't explain it. But basically, like, I had really nice bread, then you put butter. And then you put a little bit of Vegemite. So it's not like, I think.
But it's like salty?
It's very salty. It's like.
I don't know why I was thinking it was going to be like Nutella, like chocolate or something.
Well, it resembles Nutella.
It does. That's what I was thinking.
I think that's why you thought that. But it is not. Does not taste like Nutella at all.
Okay. So do you feel like you're getting to the point where you kind of go out and people are recognizing you? And I'm sure it's happening.
Oh, like on the street?
Yeah. Like you go get coffee or whatever, you go out. Are people like, oh my God.
It depends where I am.
Yeah.
You know, I think like obviously if you're playing a show somewhere that day, the odds of being spotted are increased tremendously because like people are primed to see you. And then, you know, we're around my neighborhood, not in a weird way, but just like I'm around a lot.
Right.
Because I live there.
Right.
So
That'll happen.
That's also, but I have to say, like, it's never weird. And I'm a very, like
if somebody came up to you and they were like, oh my God, we have to take a selfie. Would you be like, no? Or would you be like, all right.
Oh, no, no. I
you'd
definitely
be cool.
Do it. Yeah.
Because there's some celebrities who are like, get away from my face.
I always run into people at Dunkin' Donuts.
You do?
Yeah.
I imagine it's like a coffee shop where you do it the most for some reason.
And I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I find it very,
it's very good.
And it's reasonably priced. Like I sort of agree with the Dunkin' Donuts ethos. It's like a big iced coffee is $1.99. Like live in a neighborhood.
Mean, can't beat that.
Bougie coffee where it's like $5 for a cold brew. I'm like, I don't even care. I can't even tell the difference.
I know, I'm not like a coffee connoisseur. Like I couldn't I wouldn't care about it. Do you guys like after you play a show like tonight we're you're playing with Group Love and Milky Chance and do you guys like hang out
tonight,
shows in the past, like will you guys go hang out together or do you hang out beforehand or how does like I'm always curious about the before and like what you guys do after the show, you get off stage, like do you guys party together?
It depends. Like, so this is kind of an interesting little run for us because we've actually, so Milky Chance, who's one member of whom is sitting to my right at the moment, but they and Group Love and us, we've all had these three shows together. And
so
we're
got
actually,
to know each other a little bit.
Yeah, and we're going to be, Milky Chance was playing the same festival. We were just playing in Australia. So there's a lot I think if your album cycles are kind of, around the same time,
kind of tour together and stuff.
You find yourself running into people, and I mean, for us and for myself, I enjoy being with people and spending time.
And
not like
out.
I'm not even talking about drinking or partying or anything, but just getting to like be privy to other people's lives and experiences. And so we definitely hang out. I'd say after the show, but we're going to be on tour with Group Love all fall, and I know I previously had known Ryan, their drummer, and so because he lives in my neighborhood and whatever.
So who do you think is like your favorite band to hang out with, like or person
of all time?
Musician? Yeah, like that you ever hung out with, like you guys, you know, played a killer show together and then you came off and you're like, oh my God, we had the best night or whatever.
Huh.
How I don't know if you're touring so often, maybe you don't like go out every single night. I imagine that gets like old real quick.
It does get old.
I mean, I would think so, because I just turned 30 and I feel like I'm tired at 10 p.m. So, yeah.
Well,
like, I don't know.
There's a Ben Gibbard has a good line, which is it's not a party if it happens every night.
Yeah.
And that I think that
that's
true. That certainly rings true. Nevertheless, we pretty much always have at least like a fun, interesting time. But we were we pretty much hang with every band we've ever toured with.
So it's kind of hard to nail down because you guys kind of all get along, I imagine.
Yeah, we had a pretty fun. I opened up for Dashboard Confessional and
you
Third
did?
Eye Blind.
Wow, what a great show. That's amazing.
Yeah. So,
I think we went to that show. Maybe not Dashboard, but we definitely saw Third Eye Blind recently in St. Augustine, and it was such a fun show.
Yeah, it's really fun, and I did a song with them. Cause
you
they,
did?
Yeah. Anyway,
that's
it was
awesome.
Like that. Both of those crews were great to be around, and for me it was cool, too, because that was like kind of a generation apart, you know, like those dudes, you know, put out a record, those big records.
Everybody's trying to mess her up right now, you guys.
You know, when I was a kid, and to see them, their music connecting with now kids who are 16, like just seeing that cycle continue.
It is cool. Yeah,
so
because
cool.
When we went to that show, it's definitely like an older like 90s band, but then there's like all these kids who know all the words. So it's just
it's crazy.
It's never ending, and that's cool. That's
I
something
love it.
That would, you know, I feel like that'll be you one day too when you get
I
older.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know. I don't know though. It's weird to think about, like, I feel like this industry in general is so present focused that when you take a step back and you're like, what will I be doing in 10 years? Honest to God, like 10 years ago, this wasn't even a twinkle in my eye.
Right.
So in 10 years, I mean, like, who knows?
That's
I could
crazy.
Be like, you know, the daughter-in-law of the president and have be a senior analyst and be ruining the country. So That could be possible.
There's dreams for
everyone. Possibilities are endless. Unfortunately, I wasn't born into an immense real estate fortune, but
yeah,
most,
no,
you know,
me neither. So I mean, I either got to make it or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Keep pushing. So I'll wrap up with you, but I want to see if you have any advice for women who are really trying to like stick with their, you know, they're trying to reach their dreams. They're working their ass off.
Well, I think this rings true for.
Just
anybody,
any gig,
but,
yeah.
But I do think, you know, anytime you're in a category that experiences some level of, you know, kind of like discrimination, and that can extend across obviously many different axes. I think a huge part of it is the team that you have to support you. I think it's about finding allies and finding like-minded, independent people to kind of partner with and embrace your vision. You know, I've
right.
had the same manager since I started, and he's, you know, he's like my best friend. I'm officiating his wedding in 2 weeks.
You are?
Yeah. Like,
that's amazing.
You know, and from the get-go, he's kind of, you know, recognized my vision for things, respected that. He's a feminist. He's an inclusive person who's, you know, working towards, I hope, you know, we'd like to think like a better future, at least in the small ways that we can help create that. And I think it starts from there, because it can feel overwhelming when you confront these institutions, right? Like, I remember one of my first record label meetings, the like head of this big, one of the big labels said to us, he's like, so are you guys dating? It's like, you know, you can have interactions like these, and of course that's a small example, but
with men that, without it assuming that you're dating that person.
That can break you down. You know what I mean? That can be discouraging. I think if you have a team, you obviously need to have the flame burning within yourself, but if you can find people to support you in a
support
real way.
System. Yeah.
I think that's huge. And then just, you know, like working hard. I mean, you actually, the more you do something, you get better at it.
Weird logic.
Like, I sucked when I started making music, you know, and not to say I'm so great now, but I'm better than I once was.
Absolutely.
And
practice. Always.
Yeah, so
and never give
like,
up, I assume.
Yeah.
Because if you do,
or,
then.
Or know when to give up, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, I think maybe giving up might be the wrong verb there, but, like, changing.
Just try your hardest and then know that you did your hardest and then.
Yeah, knowing something isn't fulfilling you. Yeah, improving your life. But, yeah, and I think educating yourself, I think one of the strongest weapons we all have against the powers of oppression in whatever ways they may manifest is knowledge. I mean, I actually do think that. Like, if someone's coming at you with whatever, hatred, vitriol, anything.
And it's everywhere. Because especially everywhere. These days, like, with social media and stuff. I mean, I don't know if you have to deal with that, like, the trolls on your Instagram or whatever. I mean, I talk to a lot of women who have really big followings, and, you know, you always get these people who just want to try to break you down for no reason at all. But yeah. It's just, you have to learn to, like...
The internet, ma'am.
Yeah, I know. It's bad.
It's such a beautiful
I'm really
place,
glad
and
I
it's
didn't...
such a nightmare.
I know. I'm kind of glad I didn't grow up with it.
Yeah.
As much as...
Totally.
You know, it's kind of sad sometimes to see, like, all the kids just, like, shoved in their face.
I know. I'm
phones.
Like, I had Instant Messenger. That's, like, all I was doing.
I had, AOL.
Yeah, exactly. I just, like, was on AIM sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
That's it. That's all I did.
And then, like, when MySpace came around, it was the greatest thing. But it's, like, it then all went downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty convinced, like, some type of apocalyptic scenario is going to happen, whether it's, like, climate change or... missile. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think we might have a restart coming up. I mean, that's terrifying to really think about, but I think it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. Absolutely.
Anything
never know.
Is possible. Damn, this interview just got...
This got real deep.
I have to play now. I was just so scared and depressed.
Sorry.
No, I'm not at all. All right.
So you are about to go on tour with Imagine Dragons and Group Love.
Yes.
Starting in September.
That is true.
So are you getting a break? Or, I mean, like, do you ever get to go home and spend time with your family?
You know, here and there for sure. I mean, yeah. The odd thing about the job is that I actually see my family more than anyone else in my family, but it's for these, like, little pockets.
Right.
So, you know, I go to New York tomorrow. I used to live in New York, and I'll get to see my brother, and then I'm officiating this wedding, so I'll see... a bunch of my friends and family.
So you get
that.
Some breaks, like, after you go on, like, little legs of a tour, and
yeah,
then, okay,
and then
cool.
We're headed.
But this is a world tour, right?
Well, this is, so in the fall, it's just U.S. and Canada. They don't have anything else scheduled at the moment. But
so Imagine Dragons and Group Love, and I think that you guys are going to be in Orlando, so you guys should definitely go check out that show. I'm pretty sure Orlando.
Yeah, I honestly
I just looked
know
at the
what the dates are.
Okay, I don't know the dates either, but I will find them out and I'll write them down whenever I post this episode. But you guys should go check K-Flay out. Thank you so much.
Thank
you were
for
amazing.
Having me.
This is so much fun. This is the first live podcast. I mean, it's not live because we're obviously recording
it,
but that I've ever done. And it was
I like
great.
Live. You know, I listen to a ton of podcasts.
You do.
I'm
this
like
is a pretty new podcast that I started, and I'm having a really good time with it.
And I like live ones. Do you ever listen to Two Dope Queens?
No. You'll have to give me a list of some, and I'll check them out.
That's a cool one because they tape every episode in front of a live audience.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It's edited, but. It has a really kind of like of the moment.
A different feel to it.
Like people reacting to things that are actually occurring outside of the sterile interview environment. So
and that's what I like, kind of like about this. So maybe, I mean, you're like inspiring me to try to keep doing stuff like this.
I think
cool.
This is rad.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you.